Bibles, please open them at Proverbs 8 as we look at verses 32 to 36 in particular. I wonder, do you ever get the feeling that people aren't listening to you? I hope I don't get that sense tonight from you. But I'm sure you can think of times when you've tried to teach someone how to do something, but it's as though it just goes in one ear and out the other. Maybe if you've children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews, I'm sure there'll be many times when you've tried to give them an instruction, but they just haven't listened. Or if they have, they didn't act on it. You tell them not to run on that rough ground or they'll fall and get hurt, but of course they don't listen, and next thing you're sitting in A&E with them. Or maybe you make clear to your 17-year-old who's just passed their driving test to stick to the speed limit, don't be going too close to the car in front. Next thing you get that phone call to say that they've had an accident and run into the back of someone. They haven't listened. They haven't taken on the wise instruction. And the book of Proverbs that we've been looking at over the summer seeks to impart wisdom to us on many practical aspects of life. And over these past weeks, we've heard various instructions on how we should live our lives in a way that is pleasing to God, in a way that is wise to live as a Christian. But I wonder how much of that have we truly listened to? How much of that have we lived out in our lives? Quite often, these proverbs are written from the perspective of a parent speaking to their child. In chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this: "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Or at the start of chapter 3 that we looked at last week together, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching." See, we should listen to wise instruction and not forget them as a child should of their parents. And this is even more important when we realize that we need to listen to the wisdom of our Heavenly Father and we need to continue to hold on to His Word. But how well do we listen to God's Word? You maybe come to church here week by week, you hear many sermons, but do you truly listen, or do you just forget that word? Are you eager to hear it? Are you eager to learn more of it? Because you know that it leads to life, not to death. We're going to see some of these things come out in these verses, 32 to 36 of Proverbs 8 tonight. This chapter, the whole of chapter 8, has caused much controversy throughout history. It's been much debated on, mainly because it's written in direct speech here. There's been many debates around who the speaker is. But verse 1 and verse 12, if you look at them, it makes clear that it is wisdom itself speaking here. Wisdom has been personified. It's been given this sort of identity, which is speaking directly itself. But as you read through that chapter, and you can maybe see why many people have considered this to be the pre-incarnate Jesus. Because many of the things here maybe echo a lot of what Christ has done. And especially when they hear in 1 Corinthians 1, where it describes Jesus as the wisdom of God. See, so much here fits in with Christ being that wisdom when they think about what he's accomplished in his life. So that assumption has been made. But although there's much in common here, the description of wisdom, this person of wisdom, isn't completely accurate with Jesus, particularly because it doesn't share that eternal nature of God. It's making out that it is created here, and of course that is not true of Christ. He was not created. But as we look through these passages and as we have read through Proverbs together, I do believe there's a foreshadowing here of Jesus, because he is the one who has perfectly lived out that wisdom of Proverbs throughout his life. And through him we have that blessed life, that new life, that eternal life. But we do need to be careful not to directly equate these words to Jesus, or we could end up like the Arians many years ago or the Jehovah Witnesses today, who used this chapter to try and say that Jesus was a created being. He was not equal with God, not coexistent with him. But we do want to bring it to Jesus. And so as we look at these few verses together, I want to look at the wisdom in it as a passage, but also to bring it to the wisdom of Christ. Verse 32 starts by saying, "And now, O sons, listen to me." So wisdom is addressing us as children who need to listen up to what's been said here. And the first appeal that is made is that we need to hear and obey the wisdom of God. Hear and obey the wisdom of God. So as wisdom speaks, it says, "Listen to me, blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it." As you're walking about maybe a town or a street, you see a lot of people walking about with headphones on nowadays. But if you maybe see someone, you might ask them, "Well, what are you listening to? Who's the band? What song is it?" But if they were to respond by saying that they didn't know, you'd think it was a bit odd that they didn't know what they were listening to. So maybe if you probed a bit more, well, what were the lyrics? What type of music was it you were listening to? If they turned around and said that they still didn't know, well then, you would wonder why they even bothered putting the headphones on in the first place. What is it that you are listening to in your life? And that, as I was listening to Richard this morning, I think God must be really trying to emphasize something here tonight, because that's the exact question he gave to us this morning towards the end of his sermon. What are you listening to in your life? Not in terms of music, but in terms of what is guiding you as you make decisions. What is it you're listening to that is shaping your ethics of what is right or wrong? What is it that you're listening to when you're facing difficulties in life and you're needing to know a way forward? I think so often we aren't even aware of what we're listening to in life, just like that person with the headphones on who didn't even know what song they were listening to. See, there are so many sound bites all around us that are subtly influencing us and changing us. The constant bombardment of secular ideologies that are on TV or on social media, they're actually shaping us more than we think. Just look at how quickly the Republic of Ireland has changed over the last number of years. It was a country that was known for being the most conservative in terms of abortion laws in Europe. But look at it now, it's got some of the most liberal laws. And you see, the thing is, that could happen here too if it continues in that trajectory. See, this comes about because people are not listening to true wisdom. They're not listening to it, and they're not putting it into practice. And in these verses in Proverbs, we're urged to listen to the wisdom of God. We're to hear this instruction that makes us wise. We're not to neglect it. We're to listen up. If you were to take the book of Proverbs itself, it contains a lot of wisdom that we can listen to. It can help us in our relationships with others. It can help us in how we handle our wealth, our finances. It can help us in how we speak to others. It can help us in how we go about our work and not becoming lazy. It can help us in how we grow old gracefully. These are some of the things we've covered over the last number of months. You've heard them preached on. You've heard this truth, but have you been listening to it? What have you taken away from these messages? Have you taken anything away, or have you just neglected it? Has it gone out of your head as by the time you've got your cup of tea at the end? Of course, this doesn't just apply to the book of Proverbs, but to all of Scripture, because it is there that we find the wisdom of God. See, God's word must be the ultimate source of what we listen to, and it must be obeyed as we put it into practice in our lives. Every proverb, every sermon, every passage of Scripture that we look to should affect our lives, because the Word of God is breathed out by God. It's useful for teaching, for correcting, for rebuking, for training in righteousness. But it's only useful if we actually listen to it and if we seek to live by it in obedience. In John 10, Jesus spoke and he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And remember the transfiguration, which is recorded in the first three Gospels, where God the Father speaks to the disciples, and he says, "This is my Son, listen to him. You see, those who are truly children of God will hear the voice of Jesus calling them, and they will listen to him, and they will be obedient to that voice in following him. See, you could listen to hundreds of sermons, you could know the Proverbs inside out, and yes, you may gain some sort of insight from them, some knowledge, but you will only be truly wise when you hear that voice of Jesus calling you and when you receive him as Savior and Lord. Because he is the true wisdom of God, and we must listen to him and be obedient to his instruction in our life as we follow as his children. The second appeal of wisdom here that we see is that we need to be eager to listen to the wisdom of God. We need to be eager to listen to the wisdom of God. We see that in verse 34 where it says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." A number of women are going up to the Irish Women's Convention, I think in a couple of weeks' time in Belfast. And from what I hear, it's a day of great teaching from God's Word, a great time of fellowship together. But ladies from across Ireland are so keen to go to that event that tickets are sold out in a matter of minutes. The men's tickets are actually going on sale very soon, so I need to keep an eye out for that myself. But if you're booking tickets for these events, you're on high alert. I think Lynn can testify to that. You're eagerly waiting. You're ready to click on that purchase button as soon as it goes live. Otherwise, they're gone in an instant. But it's great to see that so many people are eager to go to a convention to hear sound teaching from God's Word. It's great that so many are eager to hear and receive that blessing that comes through the Scriptures. And that's what verse 34 says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me." There is a blessing that comes from listening to God's Word. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. I'm sure as you've read it before, you realize that it is focused on God's Word, on his law. It celebrates how it guides us in life. It is that perfect guide. And it helps us to see the blessings that come from God's Word, his perfect wisdom. And verse 103 in that chapter says this, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." See, when we truly hear and obey the wisdom of God, then we know that sweetness of God's Word. And when we know that sweetness, we'll want more of it. It's just like when I open a bag of that sweet popcorn, your hand just keeps going in time and time again. You just want more of it. And you see, when we realize that God's Word is such a blessing to our lives, and we see God in it, and we see what it tells us about God and about who we are before him, it makes us want more of that. It makes us want to keep coming back time and time again to know more of the wonder of who he is, of his steadfast love and his faithfulness. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." The Beatitudes, where there's talk of much blessing there. But God's Word is a blessing because it shows us how to live that pure life, that upright life, that holy life. That life, if we live out, we would see God. But you see, God's Word is also a blessing because it shows us that we can't actually keep those instructions. We can't actually live by it on our own efforts. We can't live a life that is pure and holy and blameless, no matter how well we listen to these Proverbs or instruction from God's Word, no matter how many sermons we have heard. See, the blessing of hearing this wisdom is that it reveals to us our sin. It shows us our need of a Savior. It shows that we must come to that person of wisdom, and we must eagerly wait at his gates day after day, waiting at that door, waiting for it to be opened to us, so that we would know more of his wisdom. And surely as we hear of that, it points us to Jesus, the perfect wisdom of God. And if you have heard his voice, if you have followed him in obedience, well, then you will have that desire in your life to hear his voice each day, to come into his presence, to seek to know him more. And as we continue to read and hear God's word, we continue to see how far short we meet up to those standards. And it drives us more and more into the presence of Christ and to acknowledge more of what he has done for us, to understand that blessing that is only found in him alone. We keep coming back to him. And so if you know that Jesus, our Lord, as Savior tonight, do you have that desire, that eagerness to know more about him from God's word? The fact that you're here tonight probably shows that you do want to know more of him. But may that not only be on a Sunday morning and evening, but let us watch and wait expectantly each day as we turn to God's word, waiting at the door, waiting on him of what he is going to teach us and show us about that person of wisdom, the Lord Jesus. Surely we ought to pray each day that we have a greater desire and a craving that we would know more of that sweetness, that word which is as honey to our lips, and the blessing that comes through listening to it. Finally then, having listened to and come to this person of wisdom, we find life, not death, through Christ, the wisdom of God. We find life, not death, through Christ. And we see that in verses 35 and 36, which says, "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." I was speaking to a guy recently, and I was telling him that I was preaching through Proverbs. And I was quite surprised when he said to me that he thought that the Proverbs should only be preached as moral lessons. They should just be a moral example for how you live your life. He didn't see the need for bringing them to Christ. And I'm sure you'll know that I disagreed with him on that. See, I believe we must bring the focus of this wisdom to Christ, because it is only in him that we can find life and favor from the Lord, as mentioned in verse 35 here. But so many people are looking for that fullness of life in the wrong places today. I saw an article online in the magazine of Psychology Today, and the headline on it was 23 Ways to a Happier Life. But I was intrigued by the tagline, because it said that this was the complete guide to boosting happiness according to science. Of course, I'm sure this contained much helpful advice, practical advice, and if you stuck to it, I'm sure it would maybe give you a healthy lifestyle and bring some benefits to your life. But no matter how many studies or experiments have been conducted, these things don't bring true life. They don't bring a fullness of life, a life that will satisfy, and they certainly don't bring eternal life. Likewise, if we were to take the book of Proverbs merely as moral instruction on how to live your life, yes, it will bring some benefit. After all, it's wisdom that's come from God, and if we find it and we live by it, well, we're living according to God's word, his truth. And surely if we live according his ways, then we will find favor with the Lord. But the problem, as I've already said, is that no matter how hard we try, we can't perfectly live out that wisdom of Proverbs. We aren't always that good friend who sticks closer than a brother. We don't always work as hard as we should, and sometimes we are like the sluggard. We all too often get easily annoyed with others. We end up saying those things that are hurtful, don't we? Like verse 36 says, we so often fail to find wisdom. We don't listen to God's word. We disobey his instruction. And just like that rebellious child, we so often injure ourselves as a result of that. See, because of our sinful nature, our hearts are inclined away from God's wisdom. And we too often tend to hate his instruction rather than love it. And so failure to find true wisdom and to live by it ultimately leads to death, as it says here. It's serious consequences that come from ignoring it. And so week by week, we hear this wisdom from God's word. We listen to it. We may even be really keen to live by it. But we must realize that we cannot live by it on our own effort or by ourselves. We need to find that person of wisdom who is able to keep all these instructions. We need to find the one who has that complete favor with God, because this person has completely satisfied all his requirements. This person has lived in perfect obedience. It is only in this person that there is that fullness of life. And of course, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who lived out the wisdom of Proverbs perfectly in all he thought, in all he said, and in all he did. Throughout all his life, he committed no sin, and neither was deceit found in his mouth. Yet, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, "For our sake God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." See, it's only through all that Christ accomplished in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection that we can find life, eternal life. So when his sheep hear his voice and follow in obedience, we receive that righteous status of Christ, and we too find that favor with the Lord through him. And so if we find Christ and we continue in him, we then receive that abundant life, that life in him for all eternity. See, what a joy it is to know that person of wisdom and to find eternal life. Find life, not death. What a joy it is to know that. See, hopefully tonight, as you have been listening to God's word, you have seen that you have been hearing from God himself. Have you been listening to this word? This is the true wisdom of God. But maybe you're still searching tonight. Maybe you're still going after that way of life. You're listening to many other things. You're hoping that you'll gain that from some other avenue. Stop searching tonight. You don't need to search any further, because Jesus, the true wisdom of God, has been put before you tonight. And you too can find favor with God if you call out to Christ and ask him to save you. And if you do know Christ tonight, if you're one of his sheep who have heard his voice and you know that eternal life in him, well then let's continue to seek his wisdom. Let's be more eager day by day to listen to that sweetness of his word, that it's sweeter than honey. Let's not be wise on our own effort and dependent on our own effort. But let us turn to God, depend on him through his word and the power of his spirit that leads us through it, as it points us to Christ, the perfect wisdom of God, the one who lived that life that we couldn't. And the one who through him we can experience that joy and that fullness of life at last for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word points us to Christ. He is the true wisdom, and he is the one who has lived out the scriptures perfectly in everything that he has said and done. And we thank you that Christ lived out that life of obedience where we have failed to. We thank you that through Christ there is that life, that fullness of life, that eternal life, and that by trusting in all he has accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection after the death on the cross, we can know that fullness of life for ourselves. Lord, we pray that we will continue to seek to know more of Christ as we turn to your word day by day. We pray that we would listen to it, that we would seek to understand it, that we would live by it. Lord, grant us that eagerness each day, that desire to spend time with you and to learn from your word and to see how you want to apply that to our lives. Lord, continue to lead us and guide us in it by your Spirit. And Lord, may you continue to teach us the ways of Christ and how to live as he has walked on this earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.